Morning, church. Yeah, I don't know really where to start after Jen. Man, that's tough. That's tough. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you and Lord, we thank you for the example that you've given us on how to be a father. How to love even when we don't deserve love. Lord, I just lift up Jen and that whole family as they're going through it today and the first Father's Day without Stan. And Lord, we just I just ask your special blessing on them today, Lord. Lord, give the church ears to what the message is that you've laid upon my heart, and let me be the mouthpiece, and just shut me down, and let me you just speak through me, Lord. In your name we pray, amen. So, much like Mother's Day, we have prizes today. Even though I gave a plug to Bath & Body Works, I did not get Bath & Body Works gift cards today. I probably should have, but I didn't. So we're going to start with which father here drove the furthest to get here today. Skylar, you're out. Say anybody 20 miles? Paul's 16. Dylan, how far is that for you? About the same? 15. Robbie, how far did you come today? You're not in that category. All right, Paul, you're the winner to that one. So you got Dick's, Lowe's, Subway, B-Dubs, Texas Roadhouse, or Amazon.
Oh, my. What's this one?
Dick's. Okay. Dick's Sporting Goods. There we go. So much like we had the furthest, who drove the shortest distance to get here to church this morning? 4 miles for Verlton. You're out because you probably win another one here in a minute. Anybody got 5 miles? Yeah, Tim, you're not more than 4 miles. Come here. Tim's about a mile and a half. He's a winner, winner. You could have chicken dinner. Texas Roadhouse. Yeah, you're probably right. All right, who has the youngest child here today? Skylar, come on up. Imagine that's you. Beckett is a little over two and a half months old. Lowe's. Yeah, good luck. Who has the oldest child here today? 56. Anybody got a son or daughter older than 56 here today? Verlton, B-Dub, Subway, or Amazon? B-Dubs. All right. Now my last two. Who here is father to the most next generation fathers? So Dylan's got three. Levi's got three. Anybody, did I hear four? Who? Kale. Now, listen to details, Julie. He's got Nolan, Caleb, Logan. We got Trevor, Isaac. Man. Okay. Subway, Amazon. I don't either. Subway. Dylan, I'll get you one too, where you want it to. Subway, B-dubs. Okay, and then who is father to the most mothers, future mothers? I have three, but Levi. Dylan, you won the male. Levi, you win the females. So, Dylan, you're going to Amazon shopping. Beth will love it. Hey, we have a lot of variations of fathers in this room today. My hope is that all those different variations stem from one example. And that is God our Father. And it would have been easy today on Father's Day to talk about, you know, when Jesus came to earth. I went a little different route, and I entitled it, I think, The Sacrifices of Fathers. And what I mean by that, my three daughters, they thought we were poor when they were growing up. Because, man, we scrounged nickels and dimes and pennies. And I wore the same two shirts and the same two pair of pants everywhere. And when once the girls, the older two, moved out and Morgan went to college, you know, we did an addition to the kitchen and we built a back patio. And the girls were like, man, you guys got all kinds of money. No, we're just not spending $120 on softball cleats, $120 on basketball shoes, $120 on volleyball shoes, $120 on cheer shoes, $300 on bats, $100 on ball gloves. You know, don't get me started on the amount of clothes these girls have. Okay, Lindsay was simple. You buy her five sweatshirts and she was good for a while. But I've seen her house now. That's why Skylar went Lowe's. Because he's going to have to build on a new closet. But we as fathers, we make sacrifices for the betterment of our children. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, did the same. Today we're going to be in Genesis 22. And I'm going to tell you about a father. And this is probably one of my favorite stories of all time. For a lot of reasons. We're going to talk about Abraham today. And I'm going to focus on 22. But I'm going to go back to chapter 21. And we're going to start in chapter 21 real quick. And it's the birth of Isaac. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac, which means he laughs, to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was eight days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. In verse 6, Sarah says, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, yet I have borne him a son in his old age. So I'm kind of giving you the lead up to this. This dude was 100 years old when he became a father. And it was something that God had promised him. He would be the father of many nations at one point. Okay? Yet he wasn't a father. He was 100 years old. And I know I've joked about that before. I'm 52, soon soon to be 53, I think. And man, if Chris came and said, "Hey, guess what? We're going to have a baby," I'd be like, "Hey, no thanks. I'm 53 years old. I like having empty nester syndrome and going and visiting kids and seeing grandbabies." Okay? That's a special time in my life right now. But Abraham and Sarah, when they found out, what'd they do? They laughed. "I'd do the same thing. I'm 53. And all of us who have our fathers, you know, my dad's 75, Chris's dad's 74. And man, over the last 5 to 10 years, we talk about this a lot. We've seen them age. Okay? We've seen them age. And you can call it maturity, you can call it whatever, but we've seen them age, and sometimes that hurts to see our parents age. Okay? Here's what I'll tell you. I'd rather see my parent age than go through what Jen went through this morning. Okay? There's a lot of trials and tribulations along with aging parents. But man, I get to spend every Father's Day with my dad and my father-in-law. And I'm so glad for that. Let's go to chapter 22. Abraham makes a huge sacrifice. I mean, being 100, it doesn't say that Abraham was feeble or anything. I think at 100, Abraham was still, he was on it. Still raising sheep, still building stuff. Whatever he wanted to do, he did. So here in 22, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Now, so in those days, Isaac was just getting to the age where he could really start to help Abraham. I don't know. I'm picturing Isaac here, 12, 13 years old. He's getting to where he can just start really taking on some responsibilities for Abraham and lessening Abraham's load. Okay? So that would make Abraham 112, 113 years old at this point. And here's God saying, "Go sacrifice him." There's no other explanation. There's no other. It doesn't say they wrestled about it. It doesn't say Abraham fought. It doesn't say anything. Here's the very next verse, verse 3. It says, "Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about." And I entitled this message, "Sacrifice of the Father." I almost should have put "The Commitment of a Father." Because what Abraham did here was he put his father God ahead of everything else. He didn't question it. You know, and I've used this example before. If God came and said, "Hey, I need you to offer Shelby as a sacrifice, or Lindsay or Morgan," man, I don't know that I could do it. Abraham was a man of faith. Abraham was a man of faith. Verse 4. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. So they traveled for two full days. How far could they travel in a day with a donkey? I don't know. In my experience with donkey, you can travel about a mile and a quarter in about 2 hours. Okay? So let's say they walked for 12 hours. So they were 20 miles the first day, 20 miles the second day. I don't know. That's a guess. So 40 miles they drove, or they walked this donkey. You know, from here to Mansfield, and that's only 25 miles. So from here to Columbus, 42 miles. That's how far my vision of this story goes, about 40, 45 miles, okay? Again, that takes commitment. Again, that takes, because that whole time you're walking with that donkey and walking with your son, what was going through Abraham's mind? We don't know. We don't know. It would take me a lot longer to get there, because I'm going to tell you what I'd be doing. I'd be on my knees begging the whole way, God, don't make me do this. Isn't there another way? Take me. I'm 112. I'm a man. Take me. But he didn't. In verse 5, it says, Abraham said to his servants, stay here with the donkeys while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Here's why I think this boy was 12, 13. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, Father? Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And you know, and I joke and I make light of this statement, but that's a profound statement from this kid. He was thinking. He was thinking. But how I relate that is, go on a car trip with your kids. You can remember everything for that trip, and the one question they're going to ask is, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And in fact, my niece is 5, and she... they were going to Florida last year, and I told her I'd give her a dollar for every time she asked, are we there yet, to her parents before they left Ohio. And I didn't tell that to my 10-year-old nephew, because he would ask it 1,000 times before they left Williamsport. But Lily couldn't remember, of course, I told her that. But that's the conversation I can imagine when Isaac says, Dad, what are we doing? We don't have a sheep. We don't have anything to sacrifice. What are we doing? But it comes back to a statement of faith here from Abraham. Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. In verse 9, when they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. So as we're in Isaac's shoes, and we've all been there as kids and as young adults, and as that we look at our parents and think, whew, he's a strange one. Because as Abraham's building this altar, I can just imagine Isaac standing back here saying, Dad, have you lost your mind? There's nothing here. What are we going to sacrifice? He didn't say it. He asked the question once. And Abraham's answer was good enough. God will provide. And we've had this conversation in our house. Mom can tell those three girls something 50 times, and they question it. They can ask me the same question. I can give them the same answer their mother gave them a half hour ago, and they accept it. And we talked about this in Sunday school and the difference between Mother's Day and Father's Day. What did we talk about on Mother's Day? Anybody remember? What shouldn't mothers do? Worry. What did fathers do? What did Abraham do? He acted. He acted. Men, we have to show faith. Men, we have to show faith, and that's what's going on here. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from Abraham and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And Abraham's reply is, "Here I am." "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld me from me, your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. And then verse 19 or 15, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and you have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore." So, you know what that makes me? A descendant of Abraham. Because of the faith of our fathers, we're able to do today what we do. And you can think about that, and you can, but dude was 112. And he trusted God every step of the way. "Your descendants will take possession of the cities and of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba. Guys, I'm mainly talking to you here. We have to show our faith. We have to live our life showing our faith. And there's going to come times when we have to back it up. Man, it's easy for me to get up here on Sunday and talk to a bunch of church people about my faith. But when I go out there, is where I need to show my faith. When I go out there is when I need to show my dedication to my Father. And I'm not talking about my earthly father. But as we go and we celebrate dads today, and we celebrate maybe new dads, we celebrate old dads, we celebrate our dads. Man, do that with the understanding it is because of one Father that we're here today. And we're able to live with the knowledge that know that even though Stan's not here today, he's with his Father. And it's hard. It's hard. But celebrate the fathers you have in your life. And do you have to have biological kids to be a father? No. No. So you're not a biological father. But I guarantee you, there are a lot of young people that look to every single move you make and try to mold what they will teach their children after stuff they saw guys do in their childhood. I have guys that I remember from my childhood. I have an old guy that used to live beside me. His name was Leroy Smith. We called him Smitty. And I probably only saw him 15 times in my whole childhood. But it seemed to me that this guy was about 112 years old when I was growing up. And he was still out there on his old wheel horse tractor mowing his yard at 90 years old. And I thought, you know, I want to do that. You know, and I see my dad at 75 out mowing his yard. And he does it to get away from mom, quite honestly, and get out of the house. He mows, I don't know, 12 times a week. I tease. But it's so important for us to understand the influence we have on not only our own children, but our community's children. Guys, we got to go out and be like Abraham, and we got to live our faith. I hope that none of you are going to be asked to sacrifice your son. You know, the reason I'm not asked to sacrifice any of my kids is because, man, I struggle so much with just sharing my faith. Because I'm weak. I'm weak. God's working on me. God's working on me. So, fathers, enjoy your day. Here's what I got for Father's Day. I got a dumpster delivered. And Chris and I spent, well, I don't know, better part of 5 days cleaning our basement, our garage, and the barn. And we had helpers. Morgan helped a little. Shelby helped a little in the barn, which it was Shelby's mess, so she should. But you know what? We filled an 18-yard dumpster. And then, oh, I forgot to mention, in the middle of that, when we almost had the dumpster full, we were on our last day, I asked Brother Les to come to the house because the dishwasher was showing no signs of power. He said, oh, it's probably the switch. He showed up and he said, I got bad news for you. It's not the switch. He said, you need to go shopping. I said, yay, that's my favorite part. But because I don't like to wash dishes in the sink, I had to go buy a dishwasher. Happy Father's Day. But man, we had so much fun. And you know, probably the biggest thing I'm going to take from this week of vacation is Chris and I went camping a couple days and we had a great time, relaxed. But so like, let's see, last Saturday I started on the garage. And I had a vision in my mind and I knew what I wanted to do. And we tubbed a bunch of stuff and organized a bunch of stuff. And we threw out a lot of stuff, just junk that I keep. Because that's what I do. And Actually, that's what Chris does. And I was going to build racks in the garage, and Chris was like, really? You're going to build racks? She was skeptical. My dad came over as I was just starting. He said, where's your blueprint? I said, what are you talking about? It's up here. I don't need no blueprint. For those that don't know, my brother's an engineer, and I mean, if he's going to mow his yard, he draws up a print on a CAD. Here's the angle I want to take, and you know, whatever. That's not me, okay? So I get started on building these racks, and Chris is still scratching her head. She's pretty skeptical, because mainly it's me and my carpentry assistant, Morgan, who doesn't know what a Phillips head or a straight-edge screwdriver is, so I was in trouble. We built these racks, and we started putting stuff away. I mean, my driveway was full of just, it's amazing. Chris has a picture on her phone if anybody wants to see it, how much stuff we had in this garage. But we built these racks, and the most rewarding thing for me was when I was putting my last tub up, I hear my dad's golf cart back out of his garage. He stayed away, and he come over, and he patted me on the shoulder. He said, son, that was a pretty good job. Those are pretty sturdy racks. I said, thanks, Dad. That meant a lot to me. Even though he was so skeptical of where I was going to go with this, for him to come back and say, Matt, you did good, that meant a lot. And Chris has told me I did good, and that makes me feel pretty good too. We'll see. The racks may fall down this week. I don't know. When I go back to work, who knows? I got enough screws in them that I think they should stay. But Father's Day, go celebrate your fathers. If you don't have your father, celebrate your husband. Celebrate whoever you have. But men, my challenge to you is to be the example 365, 24/7. Because they will follow your lead and your example. They will follow it. You young fathers, that's your challenge. You old fathers, that's still your challenge. We have to live like Abraham lived and live a life of faith, 365. With that, I'm going to close in prayer. Fathers, we have little gifts for you here. I'm going to have Nolan. Nolan, come here, give me a hand. Make sure every man gets one of those, please. It's a nice shirt, by the way. I'm going to close this in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you, and even though I'm goofy, and even though, Lord, I hope we understand the importance as men of living our life with faith. And living our life with the knowledge of the example and the sacrifice you as the ultimate Father made by sending your Son Jesus to die on that cross for me. Lord, we love you for that. We thank you for that. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In your name we pray. Amen. If you have prayer needs today, if you have praises today, if you have a situation in your life that you just can't put your finger on, Les and Jesse and I will be here. We'd love to pray with you. I know a couple weeks ago we prayed for Matt McGlott. He has shingles, or had shingles. So just keep him in prayer, him and Angie and the family. And let's go out and celebrate our dads today.